This is a topic that's so relevant in our lives, and that is Birchas HaGomel. Of course, for Parshas Ekev, the Torah tells us in Perek Ches, I think it's Pasuk Yud, V'achalta v'savata u'beirachta. So we have the mitzvah of gratitude, of expressing gratitude to Hashem through a bracha, and that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, which applies when we eat a meal. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Brachos, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. There are four categories of people who need to express gratitude through a bracha. Yordei Hayom, okay, we're talking about sea travel, Holchei Midbaris, through a desert. Misha Yecholav in Isrape, he was ill and he recovered. He was incarcerated in a jail and he got out of jail. What bracha should he make? Amar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Gomel Lechayovim Tovos Shegmolani Kol Tov. Now, all of this is based on a capital of Tehillim, which is Mizmar Kuf Zion. And in this capital, David HaMelech describes different people who give Hodah Lashem. He starts the capital, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Liolam Chazdo Yomru Geulei Hashem Asher Geola Miyad Tsar. This Hodah should be expressed by those who are redeemed, that Hashem redeem them from the hands of a tsar, of some sort of tsara, some danger. And if you look in Pasuk Dalid, we have the case of Holchei Midbarios. Now, again, keeping the Gemara open, the Gemara on the first case, the first scenario, has Yordei Hayom. The Gemara is not following, apparently, the Seder of the Pasuk in Tehillim, which begins with Tov Bamidbar B'Yishimon Derech. And it addresses the case of a person who gets lost in a desert. A desert, obviously, is a very dangerous place with wild beasts and so forth. He can lose his, if he doesn't have water supply. And Ir Moshav Lo Mitzo, he hasn't found his way back to the city. That's the first case listed here by David HaMelech. And then we can take a look at another pasuk, which refers to Yalu Shamayim. Okay, let me just find this pasuk for you. Yalu Shamayim, do you see it? Just 1 second. Okay, we'll get to it in just a second, but if you take a look at Pasuk Chaf Gimel, you have Yordei Hayom Ba'anios, those who go down to the sea with ships. He's got in Pasuk Yud, Yoshvei Choshech V'Tzalmoves Asirei Aniu Barzal. Asire means those who are prisoners in jail. And Vayizaku el Hashem batzar lehem mitzokzem yoshim yotzia michoshesh v'talmavos, and then yodu Hashem chazdo v'lifos of the Adam. So Hashem spares them from this darkness, and once again they express their gratitude. The pasuk says with regard to Yordei Hayom, it says, "Vayitzaku el Hashem batzar lahem mimetzukosem yoshiem yishakvam etc. Yodu Hashem chazdo yizbruz av yordei ayom vionios," that we saw already. Oh, and there it is in pasuk chaf hey, "Vayomer vayomad ruach siora." They were out in the waters, in the seas. And there was a wind, a very stormy wind. And then it says, Yalu Shamayim Yerdu Tahomos Nafsham Barah Tismogog. So we're talking, what I wanted to point out to you is two things. Number one, that the Seder, the sequence here in Tehillim, is not the same as the sequence in the Gemara in Brachos, in the statement of Rabbi Yudah Merav. And the second thing is that if we're very meticulous in our reading of the Psukim of these four categories by David HaMelech, we will see that in each case, David describes a very extreme kind of a situation. A person who's lost in the Midbar, a person who's out at the high seas and there's a very strong storm, a wind, a person who's in jail and he's incarcerated by Barzel, he's Yoshe Pechoshech. All these cases are described as very dangerous. And the reason I point out this to you is because as we go through the poskim to try to decide under what situations a person is obligated in this bracha of Birchas HaGomel, and we'll discuss a little bit later on whether Bechlal it is an obligation or not, then we should keep in mind the description of David HaMelech. In each one of these scenarios, he is describing someone who is definitely in danger. Now, the one who notices the change in the Seder from the Sugya in Brachos to the Psukim in Tehillim is Tosfos. Here in Brachos, Dibur Maskal Abar Tzrichim Lahodos. And he writes that B'Tehillim Lo Choshiv Kizeh HaSeder. David HaMelech Seder is not the same as the Seder here in the Sugya. So again, what I want to do is take a moment to at least get a list of the order in the Gemara. The Gemara has, and please double check me on this, Yardei Hayam first, then Holchei Midbarios, then Chole Shenisrape, and then Chavush Sheyotza Mibeis HaSurim. So the Yardei Hayam, the category of those who are traveling at sea, comes first in the Gemara. However, in Tanakh, in Tehillim, we have a different order. Let's go through the order in Tehillim. He starts with Holchei Midbarios, right? That was Pasuk Dalid. Then he goes on to Chavu Sheyotze Beis Asurim, that's Pasuk Yud. Then he goes on to Cholesh and Esrape, and that starts in Psukim Yud Ches and so forth. And finally, he has the case of Yardei Hayam in Pasuk Chav Gimel. So Tosfos says the following. Tosfos says, "Ubetil mo chashiv kazeh seder, ella, but rather chashiv holchei hamidbar rishon. The first on the list in David HaMelech is those who go into the wilderness. Dekra nakat seder hamisukanim yoser tchila. The sequence in Tehillim is the most dangerous. So you're going from the most dangerous situation of someone who's lost in a wilderness down to the case of someone who is traveling by ship. Whereas Ubegemar Nakat Hamitsuyim Tchila. The Gemara Seder, he says, is those cases that are more commonplace. In which case, the Gemara's first category is Yardei Hayam, because I guess back in the day, and maybe even today, it's very common for a person to travel in the sea. Okay, now there's something called Hagos Vitziyunim, which you'll see in Os Beis on the left side of your page. The print is a little bit small, but what he says here is that he has a tshuva from Rav Hai Gaon. Now this tshuva from Rav Hai Gaon, you can see in a little bit larger print on page 2 in the Aruch. It says, Shalu lifnei Rav Hai, Hodi Omar Rav Yehuda, Arbat Tzichim Laodis Maitaima, Lo'amrinon Rabbanon Kisidura Dekroi. Why did Rabbanon change the sequence as it appears in Tehillim? And the Heshiv and Rav Hai Gaon's answer was, Hachi is lefrushe dekroi sedirin lefum deshchiach tfe. This is just the opposite of what Tosa says. He says in the Pasuk, they begin with holche midbarios, because that's the most shchiach. Not the way Tosa would say those who travel by sea, but rather that those who travel by sea, which is the first on the list in the Gemara, that's most shchiach. On the contrary, the most shchiach, says Rav Hai Gaon, are the holche midbarios. And that's why the holche midbarios are listed first in David HaMelech, as opposed to Tosfos that David HaMelech was following the list of danger, most dangerous first. Says Rav Hai Gaon, David HaMelech's list is according to the Shchiach Tvei, that which is more commonplace. And he writes, the Holchei Drachim Midbarios Harbi Mitzuyin, Afilu Holchei Me'ir Le'ir, it's even common to travel from one city to the other. And he says, Achreyem Misha Yechavish Bebeis Asurim, that's a little bit less frequent, people are in jail. And then afterwards he has Cholim Nisrape, which is even less Motzi. Again, it's a little bit hard to understand why people who are healed from illness are people who fit into a less common category than people who are in jail. I don't know. And then he finally gets down to the last category, which is Yardei Hayam. That's already very rare, according to the Aruch. However, Dishmaitetin, in our sugyas, dirin lefum hakrovim lesakana. Our sugya says the Rav Hai Gaon will list first that which is more dangerous. And that's why Yardei Hayam appear first on the list, because they are tfei krovim lesakana. And what's so dangerous about going to sea? The Bechad Riga Ovdin, that in just one split second they could be totally lost. I don't know if he means lost because they go down to the bottom of the sea, or lost because they can't find their way. Ubasron, and after that you have another great sakana, but not as dangerous, and that's Holchei Midbarios. And what's the danger there? Toim, they lose their way. Vlomishkache, Machal, Vlomishke. Mashke, there's no food or water or drink found in the desert. Krovim lemisa yosem en achayim. He says they're closer to death than to life. And Basrayon, afterwards you have Misha Yachola, that's also very dangerous. He gives a list there of different illnesses. And finally, the last on the list is Chavash Yotza Mibes HaAsur. So in any event, just to summarize, we have Tosfos and Rav Hai Gaon on two opposite polar ends of the street of the explanation spectrum. As to what?
Spectrum
as to which direction we start with or which we end with. Tosfos says that in Tehillim we're going to start with that which is more dangerous and end up with that which is least dangerous. Whereas according to Rav Hai Gaon, we're going to start with that which is more, until and we're going to start with that which is more shchiach, and end with that which is less Shchia. And all this... Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Just a quick question. Could it not be as well, if you're talking about the what's more much more common and what's not, the Tehillim is Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara is Babel. Could it not have something to do with the places as well?
That's a brilliant idea. I don't know if we, especially since I apologize, had some problems with my computer, so we're a little bit late for time. But see, Joe, if you can possibly develop that idea, I'm sure it has. It can have a lot of meaning. What I'd like to do with you now is take a look at the Rambam on the same page. And this is the Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Brachos, Harba Tzrichim Lahodos, Chole Shenis Rabe, Chavush Bebeis Hasurim, Yode Ayam, Beholche Drachim Kshagiu LeYishuv. Again, the Rambam has his own sequence, but that's not so much what bothers me about the Rambam. The Rambam changes in a very profound way the Lashon HaShas. Nowhere in the Gemara do we have Holchei Drachim. What we have is Holchei Midbarios. And the Rambam shifts over to Holchei Drachim. And the one who notices this is Rabbeinu Manoach. And Rabbeinu Manoach presents an interesting thesis in the Rambam. And it's based on a quote from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Kol HaDrachim Bechezkas Sakona. The Rambam understood that Midbarios is only an example of Sakona. And according to the Yerushalmi, when we go on the roads, as a general rule, Holchei Drachim is Bechezkas Sakona. And Rabbeinu Manoach adds a very important description here, and he writes, Afal pi shelo higiu l'sakana gedola. I think he's admitting that even though the Yerushalmi has this principle of Holchei Drachim is Bechezka Sakana, called Drachim Bechezka Sakana, nevertheless, it's not the same exact level of Holchei Midbarios. Right, we saw already in the Sefer Aruch, in the name of Vigo, that Holchei Midbarios, he says, he's closer to death than he is to life. But whatever it might be, we see that there's a broadening in the Rambam, in the way Rabbeinu Manoach understands the Rambam, of the definition of who is considered b'makom sakana, and therefore is chayev behodah. The Beis Yosef, which is in Arachayim Simon Reish Yud Tes, he takes this even a step further. He says that according to the Rambam, Holchei Drachim, all Holchei Drachim, require a bracha of Hagomel, even if there was no Sakana. In other words, whereas Rabbeinu Manoach just admits, he grants us that the Sakana of Holchei Drachim in the Yerushalmi Bechezkas Sakon is not as intense and profound as Holchei Midbarios, but he doesn't go as far as to say that if a person is on the road, even if there is no Sakona, then he by definition is required to be Mavarach Birkas HaGomel. That's as far as the Beis Yosef is willing to take it, and he extends this and applies this to Choli. And he says that anyone who is ill, again, we have to know what a chol is, but let's say he's Yoshev Lemishkov, is the classical definition, he will have to recite this Birchas HaGomel. Then he quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Beis Yosef writes that Kol HaDrachim Bechezka Sakana, it means that Holchei Drachim and Cholim are only obligated in Hodah B'makom Sakana. So basically, the Beis Yosef himself is willing to see two views over here. One view is the way we read the Rambam. The Rambam says, Holchei Drachim have to recite Birchas HaGomel. And that applies, says the Beis Yosef, even if he was not exposed to any danger. Nobody attacked him. And, you know, there was no gigantic hurricane wind. He was just simply Holech Baderech. We'll have to see exactly what that means. If I cross the street, do I have to bench Gomel? What constitutes Holchei Aderech? But in any event, there's no Sakana. But then he says, Adarava. The Rambam is not like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, we're talking about a Cheska Sakana, which means that Holchei Drachim Achayev in Birchas HaGomel, if and only if there was a Sakana. And Lamaisa, what is the final conclusion of all this? Does anybody who's a traveler have to recite Birchas HaGomel? So in the tour, we find that there were actually two different customs about this. He says that Noagim bi Ashkenaz v'Tzarfas, this is the bottom of your page 2, She'ein mevarchim k'sholchem me'ir le'ir. A trip from one city to another does not require Birchas HaGomel. He says, Shlochivu el b'holchem midbarios, Deshchichem hu chayos rav v'listin. You know, this is a place that's very, very dangerous. When a person is on the road, he has to be mevakesh al atzma. But Birchas HaGomel, that's a replacement for a carbon todah, and the carbon todah, says the Minhag Ashkenaz, is only obligatory if and when there's an actual makom sakana. Derech is not a makom sakana. Again, it's enough of a concern to require a bakosh and a tefillah, but not to require odah. And he says v'chein linyan chole, that again, it's not. We're not talking about someone who got into bed because he has a splitting headache or he has stomach cramps. He doesn't have to make a bracha. We're talking about a person who can't walk on 2 feet. That's a real chola. Then he goes on to say that the Ravid says you need what's called a makah shel chola, which means that there's some internal injury to the body. That already indicates that he's a chola with an element of sakana to it. Then after presenting the minhag of Ashkenaz and Tzarfas, so I travel from one city to the other, I don't bench Gomel, he quotes the Ramban, and the Ramban is of the opinion that Bechol Derech, no matter what the root was, Bechol Choli, whatever illness you suffered from, Tzrichim Lahodos. And what that means is that there's a possibility of danger. It doesn't mean that you actually were exposed to danger. And that's the Yerushalmi of Kol Adrachim Mecheska Sakonaim. It could be a Makom Sakon. Not that it was a Makom Sakon. And I believe that these two Minhagim of Ashkenaz and the Ramban, which becomes, as we'll see, the Minhag Sfarad, the Torah, and you know, concludes his presentation by saying, V'chei Noagim B'Sfarad. This really reflects the two opinions of the Rabbeinu Manoach on the one hand and the Beis Yosef on the other hand, or if you'll have it, two opinions even within the Beis Yosef, as to whether or not there's a separate halacha that Holchei Drachim have to recite Gomel, or no, that it's only Mishi Eshlo Sakana he should be Mevarech HaGomel. And the Rambam says, as we saw, Holchei Drachim have to recite a Gomel. The Rambam doesn't add any stipulation, the way Rabbeinu Manoach understood the Rambam, that it's got to be a Makom Sakana. But on the other hand, we have the Minhag of Ashkenaz and Tzarfas, and that was one interpretation that the Beis Yosef put forward, that you need a Sakana Mamish, and therefore only if one could assess the situation as being a serious danger, then according to the Minhag of Ashkenaz, you would have to recite Birchas HaGomer, but not every single Cholish and Esrap, every single Olech Drachim. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? If you take a look in Simon Reish Yud Tes, the Mechaber writes, Arbat Tzrichim Lahodus Yardei Ayam Ukshalom Imenu. And then he writes, Vaholche Midbarios Kshagil Yishov, Misho Yecholov in Esrape, Misho Yecholovish Beis Asun V'yotza. And he goes on in Sif Zion of the same Sima to write, V'ashkenaz V'tzarfas Ein Bevarchim Kshaholche Me'ir Le'ir. If you travel from Yerushalayim to Tzfat, I don't know, you don't make Birchas HaGomel. Shalochivu Ela Baholche Midbarios, and we could testify about someone who goes into the Midbar, Dishchichi Bechayos Ros, listening, he exposes himself to danger. However, he says, Ubisfarad Noagim Levarech, because, and here he invokes the Yerushalmi, Kol Adrach Mecheska Sakona, which means that there could, in theory, be a sakana. And the Mechaber quotes these two opinions. You get the impression that for the Anshei Sfarad, we should, the Mechaber is advocating the second minhag, that holche me'ir le'ir should require a birchas hagomel. But for Ashkenazim, it's not so. Now on page 4, what you'll find is a sefer called Piskei Tshuvos. It's an excellent sefer on the Shulchan Aruch. He gives you a modern and practical perspective of the halacha. He starts by quoting the Shulchan Aruch that we just saw inside. And he writes that you should keep in mind that there is a double machlokes, not a single machlokes, but a double machlokes between Minag Ashkenaz and Minag Sfarad. The first machlokes is that according to the Ashkenazic Minag, you have to have a makom d'shchicha sakana, that sakana is mitsuya. Whereas according to the Sfarad, no. Even if there's some far out chashash that maybe there could eventually be a sakana, as far fetched as it is, sakana rechoka, nevertheless, it requires that you make that bracha. But then he says, there's almost the flip side, the opposite side to this machlokas. He writes that the meaning of the Ashkenazim is to recite HaGomel Kol Sheyesh B'Makom O B'Zman Sakana. In other words, according to the Ashkenazic minhag, we're not limited to the four categories of Yodei Ayam and Holchei Midbarios, Chol Shenisrape and Chovish Beveis Asu Sheyotza, but any sakana whatsoever. Although Minhag Asfardim, Eim Evorcha Golel B'Arba Dvarim Bilvad, Amal B'Shar Mini Sakonos Sheyia B'Hem Ha'odom V'Nitzol Ein Mevorcha Magomel. There's another bracha he could recite the bracha of Sha'asol Ines B'Mokom Hazeh, and that's what he has to do, but he doesn't recite the bracha of HaGomel. And it's interesting how these two issues really are interdependent. It's basically because the Sfaradim are looking at these four categories and they're not interested in sakana per se. They're interested in these particular scenarios, these particular situations that you find yourself in, four in number. Those are delineated by David HaMelech in Tehillim. Those are spelled out by Rabbi Yehuda in the Masechet Brachos. And those are the four categories. And the list of Birchas HaGomel is exhausted with these four categories. But on the other hand, these four categories are absolute and automatic, without adding any conditions. There may be a chashash, rachok, ma'od, l'sakana, but it doesn't matter. So for example, I remember spending Shabbos in Tzfat, and I davened in the Sephardic shul over there. There are two Ari shuls. I davened in the Ari Sephardi. And one person after the next got up and recited Birchas HaGomel. And I asked myself, what's going on here? And this one came from Tel Aviv to Tzfat Fishas, this one came from Yerushalayim. Each one made a trip. The Ashkenazim, on the other hand, are looking for one key mechayev for Hagomel, and that's sakana. And sakana means we're not limited to these four cases. And even in these four cases, it's got to be makom deshchiach sakana.
That's not necessarily clear, right? Because if they go on the highways near Tisrael, it could be makom sakana, right?
Right. He writes in the next paragraph that this basic fundamental distinction between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim is something that has a tremendous impact on all of the halachas relevant here to Birchas HaGomel. And all the changes that took place in our contemporary life, he calls it B'doros Achronim, the last few generations, all of these new common situations of transportation from one city to the other, from one country to the other, in contemporary life, this is all going to depend, he says, on the machlokas between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. He says, because today you have means of travel which have been developed and are not a makom sakana. There's no serious kashash sakana, even though technically you fit into these categories. For example, he says today we travel through desert areas and forest areas, and we are not exposed to sakana. He's going to give examples soon. We'll see about travel by car, travel into tunnels that go underwater, travel by airplanes and so forth. He says even the situation of a chavish bebeis asurim, how often, he says, have you heard about someone who lost his life because he was jailed? Even the case of Pollard, I'm thinking of. Again, he has a very tragic story here, but I'm not always proud to say that I have a citizenship of the United States, but at least you could say he survived it. Back in the day, you never knew if a person was thrown into jail if you'd ever see the light of day. So that's according to the Ashkenazim. Things are going to take a radical change. And he goes on in the next paragraph to mention that Birchas HaGomel was not established initially as a chiyuv. It's not an absolute unconditional obligation. It's a reshus. But nevertheless, today we've taken it upon ourselves as a strict requirement. This is an opportunity to recite a bracha, and we shouldn't be making with this bracha. And we really should ask ourselves when and under what circumstances we're obligating this bracha. He goes on to quote the Rav Shulchan Aruch, who says that just like back in the day of the Beis HaMikdash, a person was chayv to bring a korban tamid if he was in one of these categories. He says that today a person should, if he has this obligation, he should at least read the parsha of korban tamid, and he should do so during the day when the korban tamid could be brought. And then the Shalom Parm Sfasenu is Malal of Akosakilu Hikriv es HaKarbon, which I never knew about this minug, but that seems to be the minug. He says you don't have to stay in a standing position because only the Kohen who was standing and doing the Avodas HaKarbon when he brought the Tamid was required to stand. That far we don't have to go, but certainly to read the Parsha. So now let's go into a discussion about some of the practical scenarios in our time. Number one, we have the case of Yorde Ayam, and that's called a Maflig Bisfina, where someone goes out to the high seas or even to very large rivers, Benaharos Gdolim. And he says that in our day, someone who goes out on these trips by boat, if he's a Sfaradi, when he comes back to shore, he's obligated to mivarech. If he's an Ashkenazi, he can leave it out. And then he quotes an opinion here of the Birchas Hashem, which you'll see in footnote number 11, that in their times, when you went out to the seas, it was a great danger. Today, we have steam liners and ocean liners, And it's Eino Shchiach Klal Azeka. There's no great danger in taking a cruise, and therefore he says maybe even the Sfaradim would hold that it's no longer called Yorde Ayam. Again, that's not the way I understood the minhag of the Sfaradim, but he wants to say that the definition of a makom sakona, which means that there's a chashash rachok, that it could be dangerous, has changed in our time. What was the name of that famous ship that...
They were not sure.
No, you know what I'm talking about.
The Titanic,
right. Yeah, the Titanic. But again, the Titanic was many, many years ago. I'm not saying that there aren't cases of danger, but it's hard to call it danger. It's probably less dangerous to take a cruise than to cross the street. I don't know. He writes here that as far as the Kinneret is concerned, he calls it a Yamos Ktanos, nor Katan. He wants to say that maybe even the Sfaradim would not have to make a bracha if you go out on a little boat, you know, boat ride on the Kinneret. He says, unless you go all the way out to the depths of the sea, and he requires, very interesting, a 72-minute boat ride minimum out into the depths of the sea, and then you according to Sfaradim, you would recite Agama L'minig Ashkenaz, even in the case where he took a ship out to the depths of the sea, and he traveled more than an hour and a quarter, he says, nevertheless, he doesn't make the bracha. Unless, he says, something happened out in the sea. Niklu l'sa'ara v'ayu b'sakana. And it's very interesting, Rabbi Osai, that I think, again, I'm not trying to prejudice anybody because I'm an Ashkenazi. It just happens to me that I'm an Ashkenazi. But I would make this comment even if I wasn't an Ashkenazi. And that is, when you go back to the psukim in Tehillim, which we began with, I think in each case, David HaMelech goes out of his way to tell you that it wasn't just that he went out to the sea. It wasn't just that he traveled through the wilderness. He says, Toba Midbar Bishimon Der. He got lost in the Midbar. He was actually thrust into a Sakana situation. He describes it as a Mitsuka, as a Tzalem. When he speaks about the person in jail, he has a very profound description of the dangers that lurk in the jail. And then when he talks about Yorde Ayam Barnios, he says explicitly, and this is in Pasuk Chaf Hei, he writes, Vayamad Ruach Siora Vatoromem Gala. He's talking about a storm, and the waves, I guess? Right? The Galayayam are Teromem. You know, they used to say about the painter, you know, the artists, that what they used to do is tie themselves to the mast of an ocean to feel what it's like to be out there in a Sahara, and then they would sit down with a paintbrush. So it seems to me that the Psukim in Tehillim, which are the basis for the Chiyuv of Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, they each one consistently describe a dangerous situation.
Yeah, but all he's doing is he's arguing with Tosfot. That's what he's doing by saying this. Isn't that what he's doing?
Who's he? I lost you on that. The Piskei Tshuva?
Because that's what Tosfot was saying. Tehillim talks about that, but the Gemara is not talking about that. I don't see how it's going back to that.
No, again, we're not saying, Joe, that no one is saying, not Tosfos or any, or the Aruch, I mean, in the Rav Haigar, no one is saying that there's a complete disconnection between the four categories described by David HaMelech and the four categories described by Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara. The question is sequence. In other words, okay, so one second. Maybe you want to say the following, that according to, let's say, if we assume, let me just go over this one more time, that in our Gemara, according to Tosfos, the Seder is Mitsuyim, that which is more Shchiach. Correct? That was Tosis? You want to double check me on that?
Yes.
So you want to say that maybe what Tosis is implying is that our Gemara is shifting away from David HaMelech. You know, it's where David HaMelech is putting the emphasis on Sakkara.
That's what you were saying.
Mm. I didn't understand it that way, Joe. I mean, again, you know, you're definitely entitled to your opinion, and I think it's a very solid... No, it's a very solid opinion. But I'm not sure that you have to go that way. It's a fascinating approach, that maybe the change in sequence here from the way Tosfos is from Sefer Tehillim to the Gemara itself is a shift in the very machayev, if you will, of Birchas HaGomel. I didn't understand it that way. I just thought that, you know, when you order a sequence, there are two different ways of writing the sequence. Meaning, when the Gemara is paskening Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara wants to tell you in the following cases, because these are the cases that are the most relevant to your lives, and therefore the Gemara wants to begin with Yordei Ayam, again, because back in the day that was more relevant. But again, I still think that the point here made by the Piskei Tshuvos is very significant, and that is that the machlokas here between the two minhagim touches on this fundamental issue as to what is the machayev. Is it the machayev is a makom in which there could be a sakana, or the actual sakana situation? And therefore, in the last paragraph on in the Piskei Tshuva, when he gets to the case of traveling on the roads in our time, he says, we don't have a chashash sakana. Again, there's a certain, you know, fraction of a percentage, but as is, nobody says, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to think twice before I get into my car and I shoot myself off to Tel Aviv, because in such a drive, that's not called a sakana. Not only that, he says that back in the day when they traveled on the roads, there was a tremendous chashash of listim, that the mordes would attack them, or chayas ros bader. And therefore he insists that in our day, traveling by car on the roads from one city to the other would not require birchas hagomel, according to the Ashkenazic psak. And therefore he can travel from one country to the other in certain cases, and nevertheless he does not, if he's an Ashkenazi, he doesn't recite birchas hagomel. On the other hand, he says, "Leminach Sfarad, bechol inyan mevarchem hagomel." In all cases, there must be a recitation of Birchas HaGomel. And what I'd like to show you is a pair of tshuvas on page 5. One is Rav Yaakov Breisch. He's no longer alive, but he was the posek from Switzerland, from Zurich. And the other is Rav Moshe Feinstein and Igris Moshe. And in the case of Rav Yaakov Breisch, speaking about traveling by plane, he understands that, let me just get out the language here. Again, we don't have time to read the whole tshuva, but second, see if you can look over the tshuva for a minute. I just want to find perhaps the main point that I want to share with you. Okay, so let me just say a few things, because I don't want to, again, I'm a little bit under pressure because of the time, and I know you have to go, but let me just make a few points here. Number one, as far as the case of traveling from city to city at our time, on page 8 we have a tshuva from Avad Yosef, and he paskin said if the travel is more than an hour and 20 minutes, then we should bench gomel, and that certainly is very powerful for the Sephardim. However, it's very interesting that the Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef, who passed away not long ago, his name is Rav Ben Zion Abishol, he paskins that a person traveling from one city to the other city should not recite Birchas HaGomel unless he writes Nosa Bekvish, if he travels on a road where there are very few there are very few cars to be had around. He speaks about far flung kvishim that are off on the side, or if he travels in the middle of the night, because in such cases there's an extra element of danger, he says, because if chas shalom something happens, there's no one around to call for help. He's absolutely alone. It's like a midbar, he says. But other than that, in a regular case of traveling on well-traveled roads from city to city, even for Sfaradim, he says, there's no need to be mevarech birchas hagomel. And that reminds what we saw in the Yesh Omrim and the Pisrei Truvas, that even the Sfaradim would agree that things have changed today. And then he writes that
What you said, an hour and 20 minutes for a flight?
We're talking about a drive.
Okay.
We're talking about a drive right now. We'll get to flights in a minute, Mitzvah Hashem. And Rav Abba Ben Sion, Rav Ben Sion Abba Shol says no, unless, you know, it's a very scary kind of drive with nobody's around for anywhere. You're covered by the mantle of darkness. Only in those unique situations. He says, though, and this I wanted to point out to you, that in certain areas of Hebron, for example, or Kfish HaBik'ah, where you travel amongst, you know, heavily Arab populated areas, he wants to claim that that would be a sakana and would require Birchas HaGomel, even if the roads are fine, even if you're traveling during the day, because Mitsuya Ba'osa Kvish, he says that there, you know, there's a sakana. And now, again, there are a lot of tshuvas here that we're skipping, but I just wanted to mention to you the case of airplanes. The first one to discuss airplanes was, believe it or not, the Rugachover, who lived a century ago. And he found the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, and this, if you have page 6, you'll see this. The Gemara in Chulin says that there's something called a derech nisharim bashamayim, right? The flight of the eagle in the skies. And that's a pasuk in Tanakh. And the Gemara says that that's not the same as the word derech. There's something called a derech, and then there's something called derech bashamayim. And the Rogachover says that from that Gemara we can see that when the Gemara speaks about derech, it's not talking about air flights. Air flights don't fit under derech. The Gemara calls that derech nesher b'shamayim. That's not just stam and derech. And therefore there would be no need for being mevarech a birchas hagomel if you travel by flight, because that's not included in the category of holchei drach. However, what I'd like to add to that, in my own opinion, is that according to the Minhag Ashkenazim, that whenever you expose yourself to a danger, then whatever category it fits in, whether it's holchei drachim or not, you are required to be mevarech hagomel. Then I think the issue of airplane flights really boils down to the question of sakana. Is there a sakana? Is there not? And I don't know, honestly. The Bir Halacha of the Mishnah Berurah, which you'll see on page 3, he writes with regard to holchei drachim, kevan sha'olu lo likros mikrim, since it's possible that he could find himself facing a dangerous situation, that itself is enough to be mechayev hagomel. And the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a case even though he didn't have any particular sakana. So again, you know, you're traveling on the roads, no one attacked you, you know, you didn't get into any chashom, any accidents, and nevertheless the Mishnah Berurah says that if you're traveling on the roads, there is a need to be mevarech hagomel. And again, we saw in Rav Haigo, and Joe, this is what you were emphasizing before, that Yorde Ayam, Amavarech HaGomel, he says, because they're closer to getting lost than they are to find their way. That might apply to traveling by plane, Because again, a plane could easily, chas v'shalom, if there's some, you know, some, how do you say in English, takala, they could lose, what's it called, malfunction, they could easily lose their way. And if Rav Haigon says that Yordei Hayam could lose their way, you know, if the compass doesn't show you the right direction or whatever it is, that itself makes it into a makom sakana. And halach lemaisa, in terms of traveling by plane, this gets us back to the Chelkes Yaakov that I mentioned to you before, the tshuva of Rav Yaakov Braish. He wants to say that whether or not you should be mevarech hagomel after a plane flight should depend upon the minog of Sfarad versus the minog of Ashkenaz. If the Sfaradim are reciting a bracha for travel from one city to the other, even though he was not faced with any danger, then the same thing should apply certainly in the case of airplane flights. However, he says, for the Bnei Ashkenaz, he says, I'm not sure. Is this considered a sakana by traveling through the air, similar to Midbarios? Midbarios, the pasuk in Tehillim says, Tov Amidbar B'Yishimon, they lost their way. And that's the source for the Chiyuv HaHodoya of Holchei Midbarios. What do you say about Noseh B'Matos, someone who goes in an airplane? And he wants to conclude, Lo Gara Miyordei Hayam. He says that although it's not similar to the case of the Midbarios that's described by David HaMelech as they lost their way through the Midbar, but nevertheless he says it could be very fitting for the category described by David HaMelech as Yordei Hayom, because in Yordei Hayom David HaMelech says Yalum Shamayim Yerdu Tahomos. It's very interesting that David HaMelech sort of, maybe with his Ruach HaKodesh, implied that Yalu HaShamayim, that Yordei Hayom are like the Yalu HaShamayim, and therefore he thinks that maybe even for Ashkenazim who go up to Shamayim in the jets, he says maybe they should recite Birchas HaGomel. And he comes to the conclusion that although Safek Brachas Lahakel, he encourages you to bench Gomel without Shemu Malchus. And apparently, there are a whole bunch of poskim who are of that opinion that a person who travels by plane should not be making a brach of a Shemu Malchus. But the one who argues with this is Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva Nigris Moshe, and a similar position was held by Rav Yehuda Waldenberg and Tzitz Eliezer, that if a person travels by plane, he is required to bench Gomel b'shem u'malchus. And Rav Moshe speaks about all sorts of dangers, you know, to airplane travel and so forth and so on. But then he raises the problem, the issue, is it all plane trips or only if you fly overseas? You know, you're traveling to Europe, or from Europe to Israel, and you go over the sea, the Mediterranean. And according to both Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, we don't make any distinctions. Even if you're on a domestic flight and you don't pass over any bodies of water, nevertheless, it's not different than Holchei Midbarios. And because of the danger elements in airplane flying, there should be There should be an obligation, and there is an obligation to be Mevarech HaGomel. But as I said before, many of the Ashkenazic poskim say no. For example, the Stipler said that the only time an airplane travels should be Mevarech HaGomel is if he travels over sea, but internal domestic flights within the same country, Lo Yevarech. And then we have short flights. For example, an hour flight is even, the Tzitz Eliezer agrees, Ein Levarech B'Shemu Malchus, that if you travel for 1 hour, then you should not be Mevarech. If you travel for more than 2 hours, then he does say, I don't know, if there's a flight that's between 1 and 2 hours, I'm not sure exactly what his final opinion is, that's unclear to me. But according to the shita of many poskim, any airplane travel beyond an hour, even if it's domestic, would require birchas hagomen. That's a good point, because honestly, my opinion is that traveling by plane has become more dangerous than Rav Moshe's time.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I mean, maybe because we're more exposed to, you know, to the media, to news, and we hear more about plane crashes, Rahman al-Islam. But I also think that travel by plane has become more dangerous than it was.
Percentage-wise, I mean, it's incredible how many flights go and what it is, right? They say it's...
statistically, that may not be true.
You think that it's safer today, statistically, than it was back in Rav Moshe's time? Because you're talking about terrorist attacks. I don't know if Rav Moshe, you know, lived through the time where they shoot you down while you're in the air. I mean, how many different planes have been shot down, you know, over the course of, I don't know, how much time? How many planes have been hijacked?
The amount of flights that go every single day.
Right.
Are incredible, right?
Incredible.
Thousands and thousands of flights.
And how many people on each flight?
Yeah.
You know, some of the poskim say it depends really how you feel. You know, if you really feel a chovas hodah when you get out of the plane.
That depends on the stewardesses, doesn't it?
Yeah, it could be. There are a lot of factors to take into consideration. I know I bench Gomel after a flight. You know, I fly from New York to Toronto. I bench Gomel. I don't know what your minig is. Do you?
My father didn't.
Your father didn't. And what about Ira? What?
No.
You don't bench Gomel.
I think Spartan would.
And let me ask you this, Ira: if you travel from Toronto to Ben Gurion Airport, you don't bench Gomel?
I do because it's over water, because it's
interesting. ISIS. So you follow that sack of the stipler that it all depends on whether you travel over water. But wait a second,
I think a lot of Ashkenazim follow that.
Yeah. But let me ask you this: when you travel to New York, you don't go over water?
It's not really considered like an ocean. They call it like an ocean, not
No, I'm not talking about the Five Lakes. I'm saying you don't go over the Atlantic when you travel to JFK.
That's not what they're. It makes the distinction you go to Boston. They fly you out into the middle of the Atlantic and they turn around and then you come back, right? So, but nobody looks at it like that.
I don't think people look at it.
I don't know. Yeah, it's when you're crossing it. They call it like when you cross.
Only when you're crossing the ocean.
Binyamin Tommy Rav Ruderman said, didn't believe, you should never say Berchot HaGomel. He never said it. Yeah.
I know Rav Soloveitchik changed his minhag. You know, when he first started traveling from Boston to New York, he would bench Gomel, but then he realized that he's traveling so frequently, it's almost part of his daily life. He didn't see the element of Sakana, and therefore he changed his minhag, and he did not bench Gomel.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what he did if he came to Eretz Yisrael, because,